Coming up on TMSPM, I think I peed a little.
Lawyer, lawyer, pants on foyer.
Man lives for a long time.
Keep your bras.
The Texas Butthole Bandit.
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of the Morning Stream PM. Hold on. PM.
This is the Morning Stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hold that up again. What was that? I didn't see it. What was that?
It says, "Welcome to the after party."
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody went to Taco Bell for lunch.
That sounds really good. I ate healthy chicken and rice, so...
Good for you.
I guess so. I'm cutting back on the greasy foods. So,
yeah, it's a good thing.
Although Taco Bell's not that greasy, it's all right.
It depends on what you get. If you get like their, if you get anything with their regular, their ground beef, it's pretty dang greasy.
Pretty
like,
greasy, yeah. Can't they strain that or something or squeeze it out or do something like
they're
that?
They're supposed to. We had like all of our hardware we had at Taco Bell. It was the greatest thing. We had like an L-shaped piece of metal. Like a almost like a shelf bracket, but it was probably 6 inches tall and about a foot and a half wide, mm-hmm. and then that as an L, so another piece mm-hmm. that same size, mm-hmm. with a metal rod inside it. So what you would do is you'd cook all the meat in these big vats. And then you would take this thing and you would push it up against it. So the shelf bracket was like pushing all that grease out of it.
Yeah.
And you'd tip it up and then dump the grease out.
Oh, my.
And so that was how you were supposed to get all the grease out of the meat. But
do you think they're not doing it? Like they just aren't? Because whenever
I'd say whoever did it today or whoever did it for the meat, because there was a taco as part of my meal.
Yeah, your combo.
My combo. And there was a... because of the grease, mm-hmm. Before I even took one bite of the taco, there was a canyon of shell missing from the bottom of the taco where the grease had just erased it from existence.
Yeah, like, it was like acid, like an alien bled on you and made a hole.
Basically, it was making sure that there was no way I was going to eat that taco without the bottom without the filling falling out of the bottom.
That's a bummer. I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
We all need to go to the St. George Taco Bell. It's amazing there. Don't know what they're doing.
Need to go to Torchy's Tacos. I don't know what why. There's a Torchy's Tacos not 15 minutes from me. I could be going to Torchy's Tacos.
Yeah, you could have gone to Torchy's Tacos.
Could have gone to Torchy's.
Yeah. So I got some good news for everybody out there.
Well, tell me. Well, this is your good news.
If you want to hear me scream like a puss boy, I started playing Resident Evil 7 Biohazard on the PlayStation. I streamed it over PC. It's a long story. I'm capturing it and then playing it that way. Anyway, yeah. I played it today. John Jagger was kind enough to sit in and watch my screen as I did it and make fun of me as I screamed.
He's sick too right now, isn't he?
Yeah, that's why he was able to
this
do
seems
it.
Seems like a really bad thing for him to do.
Yeah.
When he's sick.
Although he's very, how do I put this? This sort of stuff does not freak him out. I'm a complete baby when it comes to this stuff. Jump scares and weird stuff running at me and dark, gross rooms. And I can't do it. So the only reason I'm doing it is because someone sent it. I promised I'd do it. It's going up on YouTube. It also streamed live on Twitch. So if you want to catch it live and find out when that'll be, I don't have a regular schedule for it yet, but I'll try to figure it out. That'll be my RE7 series, and it will be at twitch.tv/frogpants. For those who are already here watching, you'll wonder how I'm not upstairs changing my pants right now, because I got pretty freaked out.
That's what people are saying in the chat room. Like, make sure to have some cotton balls or something for your ears to cut down the screams.
There was a couple of moments, I'll admit. And it's involuntary. I can't help it. If I'm ever a survivor in like a camp somewhere where there's a serial killer, you guys are going to want to just put me out of my misery early, because I'm just going to scream.
You are going to give away, like, there's no hiding in the closet.
Yep.
That's with Scott Johnson.
That is exactly right. But I got to say, as scary as it is, that game's impressive. Like, it looks cool. Really good. And I'm not playing
I can't wait to see what it's like in VR.
Oh, I would die. I couldn't do it.
Today's the day, by the way, the new VR stuff drops. So, like, I can now watch Blu-ray 3D in VR.
You'd give that a shot and let me know how it goes.
Oh, totally will.
Oh, by the way, Kubo and the Two Strings on Blu-ray is $10 today on Amazon.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
People should pay $10 for that. It's well worth more than
totally
that.
Totally worth it. Yeah.
One day
stop
sale.
Stop at Coverville on your way there and use one of the Amazon links.
Yeah. Yeah. Give a little credit to the old ye old
is there
Coverville.
Is there Frog Pants Amazon before I tout mine?
I never set it up, so okay. There could be, but I never did it. I felt like okay. I missed that boat. You were early on that stuff and I missed it. Excuse me. Anyway, that game's scary. RE7, it has begun. If you want to watch me be scared, then boom, bam, slip, slap, you're in. Check it out.
Nice.
YouTube.com/ScottJohnson for today's installment. It's going up right now. Actually, you know what I should do? I should split that thing up into like 15-minute chunks so people don't have like one big hour and a half thing go through. Do you think that's preferable?
Yeah, they'll probably be like certain shows, certain 15-minute chunks that are better than others.
Yeah.
Other ones.
But do you think it's more, which would people rather consume? Chat room, maybe you guys can answer this too. Like, I know there's a lot of conflicting opinions about how YouTube content is best consumed. I had once heard 15 minutes a piece. That's going to maximize your viewers. Blah, 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 blah. But I don't know if that's true anymore. Do you want just straight hour and a half? You decide when you want to continue it?
Yeah, I think I'm a part one, part two, part three kind of guy. Because it's just going to autoplay into the next part.
Yeah.
But at least that way it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to jump into part three today or something like that.
They're all saying it would be weird to chunk it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I know. Okay, so maybe here's what I'll do. Maybe we'd put the big chunks up. And then later I'll do a compilation of all the best moments into its own
there
little short video.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Yeah. See, that's what Brian and I like highlights. That's what we like.
Mm-hmm.
Longer chunks. Longer chunks.
I'm going to have some of those after my Taco Bell lunch.
Sounds good. I'm in. I hope it's coming out. Well, who cares what end it's coming out? It'll come out in one end or the other. Let's dive in. We got some stuff. Here's this, for example. Oh, that is the wrong one again.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Check it out. It's the news, evening-wise, and it's brought to you by nobody.
Brought to you by Coverville. I never did a Coverville thing this week to promote what we did. But Coverville Wednesday, Terrence Trent D'Arby and the Lemonheads. Getting you right up in those 90s and nestling you into the armpit of the 90s.
Wow. Why Terrence Trent? Are they connected, those two?
They both turned, one turned 50 and the other one turned 55. Evan Dando of the Lemonheads turned 50 and Terrence Trent D'Arby, 55.
Wow.
Wishing well. Sign your name upon my retirement checks.
No kidding. Terrence Trent D'Arby. I haven't heard that in a long time, that name.
Real name is Sananda Maitreya.
And
so he took the name Terrence, like voluntarily requested the name Terrence.
Yeah, that was big back then, I guess. I don't know.
I guess.
I don't remember what they were thinking. The 80s were weird, everybody.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. Hey, here's some stories for you. These are fun. Some lawyer's pants burst into flames as he defended an arsonist. That worked out pretty good.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Well
done. Nicely done. A defense attorney in Miami. These are always in Florida. I don't get it.
Right.
Always in Florida. A defense attorney in Miami who was representing an accused arsonist, that's a guy who lights stuff on fire and is a big jerk about it, was presenting his...
As opposed to being really nice about it.
Yeah, you know, a nice
hey,
arsonist.
You know that building you got?
Yeah, I just want to burn it. Is that okay? That's Canadian arsonist. That's what they are.
Sorry.
He says he was presenting his closing arguments to the jury when his pants literally burst into flames. Attorney Stephen Gutierrez, I never say that name right, is said to have been fidgeting with something in his pocket as the trial was coming to a close. The smoke billowing from his pocket, that started happening, and he ran out of the courtroom. When he returned, still wearing the burned pants, he blamed the fire on a faulty e-cigarette battery that was in his pants.
Which definitely actually sounds, that's a legit
totally
excuse, honestly.
Totally. I'm sure that's exactly what happened. But
yeah,
you're the defense attorney for an arsonist. You maybe ought not be messing with your e-cig if there's any risk at all, it's going to catch on fire.
That's right.
During your closing arguments.
if you're going to have an e-cig battery in your pants, no paper clips or quarters.
Yeah, very well said. His client, Claudie Charles, that's the name. Claudie Charles. That's not good. No. Was accused of intentionally setting his car on fire when he was charged with arson. His defense strategy rested on claims that the car spontaneously combusted. The guy was found guilty. No word.
He probably should have said, my new defense is that the car had an e-cigarette battery in it.
I want to talk to the jury and say, did his pants catching on fire have any impact? I know it's not supposed to, yeah. Right? Like the judge will go, you'll ignore this, jury, like whatever. But I'll bet you money it would be impossible for a jury not to notice this and not have that impact your thing.
Please disregard the defense's pants on fire. Strike that from the record.
Yeah, can you please strike that from the record? Oh my gosh, that's amazing. What else? Oh, we got a man. He lived undetected for 9 years in a two-room shack he built near the Syracuse, New York highway.
Mm.
This homeless guy's got it going on. In fact, I wouldn't call him homeless. I'd call him...
he's homeful.
A scrappy homeful, yeah.
Right. The opposite of homeless is homeful.
Whatever that is. Thousands of everyday people, or people every day in Syracuse, passed near a hand-built two-room shack where a homeless man lived for 9 years. Again, I'm not sure I'd call him homeless at this point, but whatever. Drivers never even know he was there. The shack was within the city limits, where you can hear trucks rumbling past on the interstates. It sits in a wooded area hidden in a swale, the Virgin Connie Swale, where water runs through during wet weather. The wood structure has a foundation, two doors, and a window. It's wall and plum, and the boards fit snugly together. What's a plum? Does that mean plumbing?
No, its walls are plum. That means they're straight up and down.
Oh, is that what that means?
They're perfectly vertical. Yeah, like, you know what a plumb bob is?
No.
What's it's that? When you've got a weight on a string that you use to make sure things are level and even.
Oh. Oh, I've seen that. I didn't know it was called a plumb bob.
It's a plumb bob.
All right. Look at you. What are you... listen, Bob Vila, where have you been all these years?
I built my basement. That's where I've been.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. I'd probably know this more if I did more of that kind of dude stuff. So basically meaning they're not... It's not a lean-to, I guess is the point.
Right.
They fit snugly together. They keep out the wind and the rain. This slightly sloping roof is covered with tar paper. It's actually pretty efficient, it sounds like.
The Bob Vila of homeless people.
Yeah.
Homeful people.
The Bob Plum. Or no, Plum Bob.
Plum Bob Vila.
Isn't it when people say that's a plum car? Oh, no, they say it's a cherry is what they say.
Cherry, yeah.
I got my fruits mixed up. It says in one of the most unusual living arrangements used by a homeless person in Syracuse the rescue mission has ever seen, says Jim Hawley. He's an outreach manager for the group. It says it's sturdy, built like a camp. It's amazing. It's not a backyard, and he's made it. Even so, he shouldn't live like that. So they had to shut it down because it's illegal to do that.
Yeah.
Nine years. It's pretty good.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I always wonder what happened to the guy on the vent in Vegas that we gave the burgers to that I freaked out.
Oh, yeah. Well, he lives in that massive underground tunnel system they have in Vegas.
That is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Everything about that and every little documentary footage thing I've seen about that gives me the genuine freakouts. I don't like it at all. It really gives me, it makes me very disconcerted when I see it.
Yeah, I imagine, we talked about this, that Seattle has the new city built on top of the old city. I know there's a couple other cities like that, and I wonder if there are people living underneath those cities.
Oh, yeah. Probably. Any Seattle people know whether... I would assume so. New York has some of that, I know. Like some of the old parts of the city that are sort of gone or under...
Sure.
Built under or whatever, people live in there. But I love the idea of a chud. A good chud is great.
Right. Well, it's like... you want it to be like Demolition Man, right? Where they've got the... kind of like that old museum-y kind of stuff down there.
Yeah. I like that a lot. It's never that, though. It's just a lot of really sad mental illness.
It really is.
Unfortunately,
yes.
That's really what you're mainly going to get down there. Speaking of prisons, Maine, not really talking about prisons, but whatever. It's a good transition. Mm-hmm. Maine, you know, Maine up there, Maine. It's a state.
Yeah, it's one of those states that's way up there. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the most up there.
Yeah, it's the Maine state.
It's our most top right continental U.S. state.
If you're going to escape from Canada, you go through Maine a lot of times.
Right. Never been there.
It's usually the opposite, though. I've never been to Maine either. I've not been to I'm trying to think of the most west or the most easterly city I've ever been to. Probably
Boston.
No, never been to Boston. Do you count? Can you count Georgia, Atlanta?
Is that east? Eastern, yes.
Yeah, so I go. I mean, it's just not. It's also south, but I'd say yeah, that's the most east city I've ever put foot in.
So no New York or
never been in New York. Nope.
Wow.
Kim's been. Okay. I've never been. Have you been?
Oh, you should check out.
You've been to Mississippi.
The Carolinas are lovely.
Like, oh yeah, Carolinas are great. I've been to Carolina. Oh, I know. I have been to the Carolinas, North Carolina.
Okay.
I have been there once, so I have been more east than that. I got my geography mixed up here. I'm trying to make sure I'm not saying all this wrong.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to. I don't know. It depends on where you were North Carolina compared to where Georgia is, as far as which one's further east. But
I was in Raleigh. Right?
Raleigh. Raleigh. I mean, God, it's central. It's right in the Research Triangle. In the
middle. I don't remember. It was
they're pretty close.
It was a stopover thing.
In my little, in my vague recollection of how those southeast states are
situated.
In relation to each other, I'd say Raleigh and Atlanta are probably okay. Good news says that Raleigh's further east than Georgia.
Oh, it is.
All of Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia.
Jeez,
I guess so, because Atlanta's is also inland. It's not on the coast.
So the biggest city I've ever been in, if you don't count Tokyo and China, Shenzhen, China, which are huge cities. If you only count the states, biggest city I ever was in was Chicago, I think.
Los Angeles.
Oh yeah, L.A. I just hate L.A. So I try to forget it. I just don't like L.A. at all. It's the driving. It's the freeways. I hate it.
Well, yeah, that part does suck.
How can you live there? All right, moving on. Oh yeah, so Maine, the prisons in Maine, who rain mainly on the plane. Are going to no longer require visitors to remove their bras. Apparently, this was a thing that, Brian, if you were going to go do a conjugal visit to your wife,
I'd have to remove my bra.
You'd have to take your bra off.
My breasts fly free is what I'd be doing.
Yeah, bra off is what you'd have to
do. My man's ear would have to go.
It would. But now, not anymore. You can go in there now, and prison workers are going to stop making women and Brian remove their bras to go through the screening of the visits when they go to visit the inmates. Commissioner Joseph Fitzpatrick, hey, welcome to our prison. We don't require you to take your bra off here. Says he didn't
keep
know.
Those puppies bundled up, why don't you?
Yeah, why don't you keep those down there? I know where your pot of gold is, if you know what I'm saying. didn't know that women were being required to remove undergarments after the bras apparently set off metal detectors. The commissioner said he became aware of the complaints through the news media reports. He says he had not received any formal complaints. He declined a request to further comment to the Associated Press. In 2015, female lawyers visiting clients at the Cumberland County Jail in Portland, that's in Maine also, not that Portland, not the other one, complaints after being required to remove their underwire bras before they could meet with their clients. That policy was later rescinded as well. So, much to the chagrin of the horny clients.
Yeah. Well, now they can sneak in. I mean, they can basically pull the underwire out and give it to the inmate and probably make a shank out of that.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought about that. That's probably why they did it in the first place.
I mean, they were saying because of metal detectors, but you'd think, you know, that would be, they could easily smuggle something in their bras.
Right. I mean,
if not, then the underwire itself could be used.
I mean, the lawyers wouldn't, but I could see the conjugal visit lady doing it.
Sure. Oh, sure.
She's just trying to get her old man out of there, you know? He says, bring me some wire and I'll get out, honey.
Right.
I don't know why
they all talk like that. When do you think the last time somebody tried to put a file in a cake and give it to an inmate was? Like we always saw in cartoons. You wonder, like, if people still try that, if that actually was a thing that people did and that's what inspired the...
It's how Daffy Duck would get out of the jail cell as he would saw through it because it came in a cake. I know lately, like on this show, didn't we talk about drones dropping stuff over or... There was some kind of football. Right. Somebody would throw inflated footballs over that were full of
stuff. Filled with stuff, filled with cigarettes or something.
Yeah. Like reality in this case is stranger than fiction, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Thorin says you can't take food in at all anymore.
Yeah. Especially ramen noodles because that's like currency in there now. Did we talk about that on here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We totally did. That ramen is like traded like ramen and honey buns.
Yeah. Ramen and honey buns. I bet Cheez-Its do okay. They live forever.
My new anime buddy cop film, Ramen and Honey Buns.
As long as it's a proper anime, if there's a perverted old man they have to report to.
That's right, he's the chief.
Yeah, the chief. Little short guy, His eyes are always goofy, and he's always looking up someone's skirt.
Ramen, your mouth is writing checks that your body can't cash. Give me your gun and your badge. I've got a new partner for you. His name is Honey Bun.
And Honey Bun will go,
Exactly.
Texas Butt Tickler. This is the, well, he's known technically as the Texas Butthole Tickling Bandit.
That, if that does not sound like a finishing move, then I don't know what does.
Man. The Texas Butthole Tickling Bandit has finally been caught. With a name like the Texas Butthole Tickling Bandit, it doesn't take any imagination to know what he does after he breaks into your house. Fortunately, he has been apprehended by police. Identified and caught by police in the early hours of January 5th. This is a while ago now. He managed to elude capture for 3 weeks. He had given male residents in the area a real rough time with his spate of assaults, which totaled a dozen homes by the time he was stopped. Police originally thought the suspect was homeless. However, when they picked up their man, he was actually wearing $4,500 worth of Yeezus clothing. You know, Yeezus, the rapper person thing.
Yeah, isn't that
hip hop clothing line?
Kanye's brand, isn't it?
Yeah, Yeezus? Is it Kanye? I guess it is Kanye's. I think you're right. It is
Kanye's. The Texas Butthole Tickling Bandit.
Yeah.
Boy, I wonder. Do you think he's going to be happy to go to jail or sad to go to jail?
I think he may be in for a real treat, is what I'm saying. Good luck to him as he heads to incarceration. We will now take a break before we talk about some apps and we take your Twitter questions. We'll do all that in a minute. But Brian is required by law to bring music, and I suppose you have.
I have. Boy, last thing I want to do is end up in jail with the arsonist and the butthole tickling bandit.
Okay.
Let's go to Austin for a quartet called Alex Napping. Believe it or not, there's nobody in the band named Alex Napping.
Oh.
Alex Cohen on lead vocals, Adrian Sebastian Haynes, Tomas Garcia Oliano, and Andrew Stevens on drums. Right. They released their debut album, This Is Not a Bedroom, in 2014. And this is from their brand new album called Mise en Place. It's a French thing. Here is Alex Napping and their song, You've Got Me.
All right, here it is. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Catch me. Thank you.
There you go.
Right, there you go.
Right up your ear hole, man. Woo!
Feedback plenty in the end of that song.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well done. There's that. And hope you've all enjoyed that, because now we get to play another game with you.
Yeah.
It's called this. Sorry. Too much water.
App Slappy.
All right, it's App Slappy. It's time for us to talk about apps we've been playing with, using, messing with, whatever. It's not really App Slappy. That was a podcast. This is a little segment that we kind of base on it. And that's Eric's theme that he did for our show back in the day.
That's right. Has Eric like threatened you with legal action if you continue to call the segment App Slappy?
Our lawyers are talking. We'll see how it ends up.
Call this App Slippy.
App Slippy. Very well said. So I argued with myself about what I wanted to do here. Okay. And I decided to do the unusual thing of not doing another game like I often do. So instead, I'm going to recommend a new service that I think may be kind of cool. And actually, I have a meeting arranged with them to discuss further potential frog panty things with it. Frog panty.
Frog panty. You can still wear in jail, by the way.
Oh, you totally can. Oh, yeah.
You don't have to take those off on your way in.
Well, they're crotchless, so... It just has you can get right to the goodies, you know.
Like the frog has his mouth open.
Yeah, just going rah, with a little tongue hanging out. it's called Anchor, A-N-C-H-O-R. And their thing, or I'll see if I can get their, I want to get their slogan. I have to restart it to get it. I don't want to use my, okay. That doesn't do it. But anyway, basically just say they're redefining radio. And the idea is through the app natively, you can record anything you want, post it, and then people can go listen to it. Think of it as like micro podcasting kind of.
Oh, yeah. And you did a little Logan review with that.
Yeah. In fact, here, I'll go to my channel. Let me hop in. How do I do it? Okay, there we go. Here's my channel, and I'll just play a piece of the Logan mini review, and you can just, there's no spoilers or anything. Here you go. Whoops. Still getting used to it.
All right, so my quick take on Logan, the movie, Logan. Saw it a little bit late because I had a wedding last weekend, couldn't see
it. Now, that background music you hear, it can do that automatically. You can also clap. Hear that?
Yeah.
Basically, it points in at you as a listener can make a bunch of clapping, and when the person goes back to check their files, they can see where people clapped for you.
Oh, no way, really?
Yeah, and they can hear it.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's pretty cool. I figured you'd like that part.
I like that part. So feedback as you go back and see who's listening to your stuff.
It's,
okay.
It's pretty neat. Now, I think my favorite bit is the fact that it's just so quick and easy. You just get in and you just think, oh, here's Scott testing. So what did he say there?
Hey, guys, just trying out Anchor for the first time. Don't know what to expect. Really curious about it.
Oh, and someone clapped. See, that wasn't me. That was somebody clapping for me. and they're short. They're not meant to be long form, right? These are supposed to be little bite-sized things, but it's just, and then you can just shoot it out on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever. Just let people know. They can look at it on the web, on the app. It's on Android and iOS. They can get it wherever they want it. When you record, like we'll do one right here. So, all right. So I'm recording this while I'm talking to Brian Ibbett, who you won't be able to hear on this, but, I'm showing him how Anchor works and it's pretty neat. So there's me talking. All right. Bye. So then I hit end. Now I can have background music. I can go, okay, hold on. Why isn't it playing? Oh, here we go.
All right, so I'm recording this while I'm talking to Brian Ibbett.
Here's some more.
All right, so I'm recording this while I'm talking. All right, so I'm recording this.
So you just switch food and it gives you a preview of what it sounds like with each of the different previews, or you can just have no background at all.
It's like a little filter. Yeah. Instagram kind of thing.
Yeah, and in between your things, it will do an autoplay where it'll just have some nice transition, and then you're playing the next thing you did. So you could do like a nice little, hey, it's my 5-minute review of blah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's Anchor. It's free. I'll let people know more after I've talked to them about what they had in mind. But if I hit done here, it's, I'm going to say a demo for TMS. There we go. And then I hit done and I say add to station and it's that simple. And you can just keep recording them and make as many as you want, whatever. You can follow people you want to listen to all the time. I know Jeff Cannata's got some sort of show he's doing on the daily for it. And it's, again, just a short little bite-sized thing. You get notifications when there's some on there. You go listen. Piece of cake. Phone. Just use your phone microphone. There's nothing fancy happening.
That's really cool.
It just seems like a neat way to approach that whole microblog audio.
To deliver some sort of thing. Yeah. Some sort of audio that way. It's brilliant.
It seems neat. So I'm going to recommend it. And again, it's called Anchor. Spell just how you'd spell the thing you'd put in the water to make your boat not move. A-N-C-H-O-R.
.fm.
F.fm is the website. That's correct. And the app's available right now for whatever your phone may need.
iOS, Android, whatever.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, cool.
Everything but, I don't think it's on the Windows phone thing, but everything else.
But what is,
and no
really?
No BlackBerry and no, so really just Android and iOS.
Palm Pilot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it on the Google Pixel?
You know,
I guess it would be because that's Android.
Yeah, that's true. It's on the Trio. Just kidding. It's not on the Trio. All right, Brian, what do you have? What'd you bring?
I've got a game. So when we talked this morning, you said, yeah, we're going to do an app. I thought, all right, well, let me see what I've been using lately. And what I've been doing lately is a lot of, crosswords. I've been playing a little bit of not nearly as much Hearthstone as I should be, but it's been a lot of stuff like we've already talked about on the show. Okay Golf I've been playing, which I really dig.
Yeah, it's good.
Sporkle, which I mentioned on the show not too long ago. So I said, well, I'm gonna have to go get something new.
Okay.
And right there on the homepage of the iTunes App Store right now is a game that's really old that I'm gonna recommend as part of my app slappy my recommendation here, which is Device 6. It's older, so this is not my real recommendation, but it is on the front page of iTunes right now because they've got a big push for indie games. If you never played Device 6, it is one of the most clever puzzle.
Why does that not ring a bell? Device 6.
Puzzle game. If it's going to ring a bell, it's going to be this, that you're reading text, but the text goes all different directions and the path you make in the game is the text you're reading.
Okay.
And you're trying to solve this question of where you are, how you ended up here. And it takes you through some puzzles that you've got to solve. You've got to write down a couple things and come back to it later and use those things in other places. There's a song at the end that's really, really cool. If you've never played Device 6, then that's my first recommendation, is go play Device 6. I don't know how much it is because I've already bought it, so it doesn't show up.
Oh, it was a while ago, that one?
It was a while ago. It is, it won't tell me how much it is, but it's a winner of Apple's Design Award 2014. It's old. Don't get me wrong. It's an older game, but it is so damn good.
All right.
So get that.
So there's that one.
The real recommendation is something that I found kind of on a rabbit hole from that one. And it's a game called Framed. And as a comic artist, you would totally get a kick out of this. You are a spy carrying a briefcase. You're in silhouette and you're trying to escape from a building where you've got some policemen chasing you.
Okay.
And it's total spy versus spy kind of thing. Maybe not in animation, but in escape.
Okay.
But the whole game is presented like a series of comic book panels. So it's like you hopping onto a staircase that goes around the building. And then on the next panel, there's a policeman who's going to shoot you if you walk into that frame. And then in the next panel, there's another staircase that drops you down to another level. And what you do is you survey this whole page of comic book panels and you rearrange them to be in the order that gets you to escape.
Oh.
So you don't want to go up that staircase that's going to lead you right to the policeman. You're going to take the down staircase that gets you to that second level where you're just going to walk underneath that policeman to get away.
Wow. I love this already and I don't even know the details. That sounds great.
It's brilliant. It's $2.99 and... I've been playing through it and I haven't reached the end yet. I'm like, okay, I've definitely gotten my $2.99 worth out of this.
Sure.
It is so incredibly well done. The music is great. It's like 1950s spy movie music, and the animation is so well done. Like you'll jump onto a platform that maybe has some rolling logs on it or sticks, and you'll slip and lose your balance and your briefcase goes flying and your hat flies off and you sink. And you fall down out of that cartoon panel.
I love it.
It's such a clever game. And there are some places where it starts you off really easy. So there's some places where there's only two comic panels. So you pretty much know what order they have to go in to make them work. But then you'll come to a page that has six of them on there. And you've got to figure out, all right, well, I've got to get across this gap first. And then I've got to go behind this guy and whack him with the briefcase. But that's in front of a blue wall. And if I go to the orange wall, then I'm going to come out right in front of him. But if I go to the blue wall, I'm going to come up behind him. It's just so, so clever.
I love those kinds of games. You've described my kind of mobile game.
So you'd get a kick out of this. The game is called Framed. It's on iOS. I have not looked yet to see if it's on Android. But if you've got an iPad, you got to pick this thing up.
All right. Yeah, totally my kind of game. According to Genie in the Tadpole. I agree with Genie. Right. Genie and I are over the same line.
Genie knows. It is on Android, and the developer is Love Shack.
Is that where it's at? Is Love Shack that's baby? Where it's that's at. Where it's at. All right. Is it? You got me a Chrysler if it's about 20.
You can drive. You and 20 of your friends can drive down the street and play this game.
Has there ever been a Chrysler that could fit 20 people in it?
No.
That is the truth. So this entire time, Fred, what's his name, is lying.
Not 20 live people.
Yeah, he's lying to us. What's going on? All right. Well, good picks all around, everybody. Hope you enjoyed those. Why don't we now look deeply into the eyes of our current energy secretary and play this clip right here, which is right here.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
That's right. Time for your Twitter questions. Ask TMS is the hashtag on Twitter. You guys used it, and we are going to respond. Let's start with a question from Peter Fisher, who says, like Scott Johnson's son, Nick, I watched Alien for the first time yesterday for an upcoming cinema score show sock show. How did he like it? Nick liked it a lot. He thought it seemed like a movie that just got made. And I agree. The only part that didn't hold up, Brian, is at the end when the Nostromo blows up. Mm-hmm. Spoiler. Nostromo blows up. That looked terrible.
Oh, did it?
It looked like crappy, weird, awful, graphic-y.
Ripley flies off in her escape pod and the...
The getting away was fine. The models of the ships were great. All that stuff, motion-controlled stuff was great. Nothing, no problem until it exploded, and then it looked real dumb. Just looked cheap.
Does Ridley Scott need to jump back in there and pull a George Lucas and redo the special effects?
He could. I mean, the only thing I would change would be that explosion. Everything else was cool. I think everything else held up.
So many great practical effects. That alien is amazing. Yep. By the way, when we were in Seattle, we went to the Museum of Pop Culture, and they have one of the alien costumes there. And it's so freaking cool, especially you can't really see this as much in the films, but the top of the head, the carapace of the alien is semi-transparent, so you can see inside it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Really creepy. Ooh, creepy.
Ooh, that's cool. Yeah, they've gotten... I mean, I'm sure this new one's going to be CGI as hell, but...
Yeah.
That's okay. We're good at it now.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. All right. Here's Sean Cox. He says, when the zombie apocalypse hits, what security modifications are you going to make to your house? I don't know. I'm not good at this. What should I do? Brian, what would you do?
I think the most brilliant security feature that they had in The Walking Dead was the one that Morgan created around his building, which is basically a bunch of spikes pointed outwards that the zombies just basically walk up and automatically impale themselves on, never even getting close. They just, they're stuck on the...
I like that.
Stuck on the spikes.
I think that's good.
Really easy to do.
Yeah. I don't know if I can improve on that, actually. I think that's pretty good. It'll keep you safe.
Yeah.
You can go out once in a while when there's less action, push the ones off that are sort of just decaying there or whatever, make room for more. Yeah, Brian's right. That's the answer. next up, we got one from Laundry Scent.
My favorite scent.
Who says, not a political opinion question. So he just says this, based on your faults, both of you, what would your nickname be given to you by Trump? Because you know you have like Lion Ted and
right, oh man, and
Little Marco.
Would it just be so obvious as Bald Brian?
Brian
would be that obvious, would it?
Balding Brian and what would I be?
Buying Brian. He's always buying something from Amazon. It's well, look out, everybody! It's Buying Brian.
That's right. Oh, by the way, I'm pissed at Amazon. We were supposed to have today because we're having dinner with the kids tonight. We're supposed to today get the Pictures edition of Codenames.
Oh, yeah.
And this last minute today, it's not going to be there till the 15th or 16th.
Oh.
Up till today, it was all on time. What am I paying for Prime for? Don't answer that, because I'm paying for a lot of things with Prime. But anyway, it irritated me.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, Lion Ted, Purell Johnson, maybe? I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do.
Germaphobe Johnson.
Germaphobe Johnson's perfect. Well done. Even though officially I'm not a germaphobe. Adam Moore says, Scott, if you could keep only, or I'm sorry, if you could only have The Expanse or Man in the High Castle, which would you keep?
Oh, wow.
That's hard. Those shows are great.
Still haven't watched season two of either one yet. We're, yeah, or The Path. We're binging. We're going to binge all three of those. Well, I'm going to binge The Expanse. Tina never watched The Expanse.
Expanse is so, season two has been great. Love it. I mean, they're only seven episodes in, but. I'm going to say that that's a too hard of a question, and I don't know how to answer it. I think maybe. I don't know. I love both those universes a lot. I think maybe The Expanse because it's a little bit less bleak. So if you're saying I can never have anything ever again, probably The Expanse because there's more optimism to that show. But Man in the High Castle is something else.
Yeah, I think that between the two, I'd pick Man in the High Castle, but it would be close.
In chat room, I agree 100%. If you're gonna binge The Expanse, that show is a really good bingeable show. Mm-hmm. Like it's almost better bingeable than it is episodic. And for story reasons, I think the way those books work is just it suits it better to binge it.
I guess I got to find out. It's on Sci-Fi, right?
Sci-Fi has it, so you can get it on a view. Okay, that's where I'm watching.
But I wonder if I have to. What is it, that deal where you can only watch the last four episodes?
Oh yeah, I kept up, so that's true. I totally forgot.
Oh, how many are they?
They're up to seven, so you're gonna miss the
I'm
first
out
couple.
For the first three. So, yeah, I'm gonna buy a few episodes.
Yeah, I did that with something else. Oh, a Taboo. I'm doing that with Taboo. Because I can watch the newer ones on the thing. Let's see here. Logan Henderson asks, was Logan darker than you expected? I assume he means the movie, not him. he says, I knew it was rated R going in, but I was still a bit surprised. Enjoyed it a lot. It leaned into the violence quicker than I expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's right off the bat.
Yeah. And the physics involved with like jamming claws into someone's head and then yanking them across the room is a very interesting physics model. Like that is not a thing you expect to see in a movie or done well. Usually it's just like stab, pull out, right?
Right.
Instead
right.
it was like chunk and then
twist.
Rip that guy over there and it felt like real weight and momentum and
that
was shocking. But also, I felt like it was right for the story, so it didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Man, I loved it. And Kim's not one for like real hardcore violence, and she loved that movie.
Cool. So,
yeah.
We'll see what Tina thinks. Yeah, it was as dark as I think I was expecting. I wasn't expecting some of the plot points, but...
Sure. That poor family. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, though, that there's a lot more optimism in it than you think for such a dark movie. There's a lot of really important sort of why are we heroes moments, and I like that a lot.
For sure.
Yeah. Old Man Spock says, what are your favorite national and state parks in your state? Also, ever go to the Coral Pink Sand Dunes? I assume he means both of us. I don't know where the Coral Pink Sand Dunes are. Are they here?
I don't either. We have sand dunes here in Colorado, and they're really nice.
We do here as well, but I don't know about Coral Pink.
No, it sounds...
Let me look it up.
Is that because they had too many Peep Oreos?
Maybe. Coral Pink Sand Dunes. Okay, that's in... Oh, it's Utah. I had no idea.
There you go.
I've been to the dunes. Maybe that's where I've been. I didn't know it had a name. Maybe that's what... Oh, yeah, no, I've been to this. It's in Kanab. I've been there.
You've been there, okay. Yeah, are they coral pink?
They kind of are sort of pinkish, but they're more brown. I mean, it's like Tatooine there. It's beautiful. If you look up Google Images, you'll be just like, oh, I could live there. I mean, I'd want to live there. I'd love that stuff. It's like our own little mini Sahara in the state, which is weird. We have a weird state. We have like every possible kind of terrain in this weird state. And Colorado's like that too. You've got
Colorado has it too. Yeah,
it's really weird.
Except for ocean.
Yeah, we have no ocean. That.
But we've got beaches down at Chatfield. Yeah. I'd say Rocky Mountain National Park is just, it feels like a really nice combination of everything.
Yeah.
Lots of wildlife, lots of pretty places to pull over and just hang out, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah. Both, I'm probably going to say Escalante in Utah is really nice. Anything near Moab is amazing. The Grand Canyon, the part that we have is cool. The bits of it we have. What else? There's something else that I really like and I can't think of it. The National, what is it called? Something, best Utah state parks. Or should I be doing national state parks? Oh yeah, it should be not national state. What I can even, Zion's National Park. That's what I was trying to think of.
Oh, Zion, sure.
Zion's is amazing. You just, the only thing missing is Morpheus up top going, Zion!
No raves going on there?
Nope. No weird.
It was very misleading in The Matrix. No Revolutions Neo, or whichever one it was. Reloaded.
Second one, yeah. There was no Neo, what's her name, sex either in the
Trinity.
In the park, yeah. Capitol Reef National Park is beautiful. Dead Horse Point State Park is incredible. That's in Moab. Oh my gosh. That's a cool thing to see.
Moab and Arches.
All that stuff. Arches National Park. I've been up to that damn arch. National Bridges is good. There's a bunch of weird Indian stuff out there. Goblin Valley. Have you ever seen Goblin Valley State Park?
No. I've even heard of it.
That's something. You know what? Here. Let's just, for funsies, copy link image. I need to
put one in Slack.
Image address. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay.
That way they can all see it and you can at the same time.
Okay.
Here you go. Check that image out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, how's that?
It looks fake.
That's why they call it Goblin Valley State Park, because it's like, they all look like goblins. Like little
three little goblins sitting on a perch there.
Yeah, wow. And there's that whole place is like that. It's so cool, and you can hike all up in there. Oh, there's so many cool places in Utah. People have no idea. I want to go to Moab again. Anyway, good question. We got time for another one.
Sure.
Let's see. Here's one from Jeff. Slippy Whippy is his name on Twitter.
Okay, Slippy Whippy.
He says, Brian, if you could see random stats of your life, i.e. hours slept, tacos eaten, Mad Max Fury Road viewings, the sort of thing,
yeah,
what would you want to and not see? So in your HUD, what data do you want in your life?
Oh, my God. I would not want to see how much time I've played video games. Although, you know, compared to many people I know, mine would probably be a really sad, paltry number.
Yeah, mine would be scary over the years. I don't want to see that either.
Trivia questions correctly answered.
Not incorrectly, just the correctly
not
ones?
Trivia questions correctly answered.
Okay. I want like an achievements list and have it say how many, you know, you've got 20 out of 6 million possible achievements. And then I want a list of the ones I can get. Like, am I, right. And it can be geolocated. So I'm downtown. What achievements can Scott achieve in his life downtown? And it'll say, well, you could do the wing challenge at this restaurant. You could climb the side of this building, or, you know.
I'm only 2 ice creams away from having 50 ice creams purchased in downtown Denver.
Yeah, something about that I like a lot.
That would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Those are the achievements you want. Like, oh, I'm only like 3 away? Oh, I'm totally going to do that.
Okay, Jeff asked another question, and I feel like he's playing with me. He says, can you name some good movie villains for the last 5 years? Scott, start with the second one you think of. You know what he's saying. Words,
don't start with
Noah Morton Joe. Yeah, Noah Morton Joe.
Morton Joe.
What would you say? You go ahead. Who's your favorite movie villain?
Top villains the last 5 years?
Last 5 years. It's going to be hard to remember who was in the last 5, but do your best.
Kylo Ren.
Okay, I like it. Like that a lot.
Boy.
I'd put Snoke in there.
Yeah, Snoke is good.
We don't know enough about
him. He hasn't
really
done anything yet. He's not a villain. He's just a...
He's just a big-ass hologram.
CGI turd is what he is.
There's theories that he's Tarkin. That Tarkin was survived the blast. And because they have like facial comparisons and his cheekbones are the same and... There's a lot of thinking that some dark forced magic saved Tarkin from the original exploding Death Star.
Right.
Yeah.
The brother that was not Chris Pine in Hell or High Water. He's like an anti-hero, though. I mean, you're kind of rooting for him, too, although it's his...
He's such an ass.
It's his... Exactly. It's him going off the rails that really causes problems.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
He was Angel in the second X-Men film.
Third X-Men, the bad
third
one.
Third X-Men film.
I can't think of his name. He's 310 to Yuma, that guy.
Right, him, yes.
That guy. Brett Von
Horford. Oh, Eklay Thomason. This is why I shouldn't look at the chat room. Joffrey. Joffrey's a perfect.
He's a pretty
the
good
best
villain.
Example ever.
Yeah, but he's been around since 2011, so I don't know if that counts.
5 years, yeah.
This is harder than I thought because I was trying to think while you were doing it, and I'm having a hard time with it. But I'm going to say, I think the villain in John Wick 2 is a super huge dick. I really liked his role. Mm-hmm. You see John Wick 2 yet?
I have not yet. No.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Switch is the next, besides Logan, the next thing I want to see. I still try to see in theaters.
Yeah, Switch also for me. I haven't seen that yet. Somehow I've stayed spoiler free on it. I don't know how.
Very good. Good.
I don't know how, but I have.
Oh, I can't wait to hear what you say when you see it.
Okay. You've seen it then, Switch.
No, I've heard the spoiler.
Is it Switch? Oh, Switch. You've heard the spoiler. Was it by accident or how'd that
yes.
go? Okay. I've yet to know. Nobody's.
Don't look at the IMDb page. That's kind of it right there.
Really? I'm not even looking at the freaking chat room now because I know they're going to try to troll me.
No, I don't think they are.
Maybe.
So far, nothing.
Okay, good. So let's say other villains.
Why are we drawing a blank?
I'm blanking
here?
Real hard and I
can't
see
really
every.
Say Apocalypse in the BVS.
Right. Right.
It wasn't that great.
I mean, Immortan Joe is my favorite.
Yeah.
If I'm being, straight up honest about it. And there are some, I think the mini bosses in Mad Max are great too. The bullet farmer and the gasoline guy and all that. I think they're great.
Do-Fourier?
Yeah, Do-Fourier.
Oh, Split. I'm sorry. I mean Split, not Switch.
Yeah, not Switch. I meant Split too.
We both knew what we were talking about.
Yeah, the Switch is over there charging so I can pay Zelda.
That's right. I'm going to see Switch right now. Yeah.
I can't think of any other villains. What's wrong with me? I mean, TV, or he's talking about movies, so it's not, TV would be easier because we could say things like, oh, well, Breaking Bad and Walter White, or, you know.
Even that was
Tuco.
More
than, well, that was, two, it was 09, wasn't ago. It? Wasn't it 09? Yeah. So how many years ago was that now? That was, oh, you're right, that's more than 5 years.
8 years ago, jeez.
Jeez.
Right? I know.
I don't like that. I can't think of any more. I can't. Like all the Marvel stuff, most of them are known quantity stuff from comics.
Right, Baron Zemo and Thanos and Ultron and the guy, the kidnapper that had the mother and her son in the movie Room. He's a big dick.
Oh yeah,
he's
okay.
A good villain.
No, good one, good one. And also, you broke me out of all my hero movie thinking, so that's good.
Right. Yeah, I was trying to stay. I was trying to come up with some that weren't in there.
And there's got to be more like that, and now I can't think of those. Ugh.
It's okay.
Anyway, whatever. They're all good. Go watch your villains. Immortan Joe, though, easy the answer. Easiest answer in the whole list is
you going to see Kong Skull Island this weekend?
Oh, I want to.
Yeah.
I'd like to. I don't think I'd get time, but I want to.
Yeah.
That's it for your questions. Big thanks to everybody who used the Ask TMS hashtag. Do it all week. Do it on Thursdays. We'll read them on the PM edition of the show, brought to you by patreon.com/TMS. Big thanks to everybody who supports us there. Consider doing it if you haven't. And if you're looking for ways to contact us, be that email, phone number, Twitter accounts, whatever, go to frogpants.com/TMS. All right. We can go now. Hey, do you have music?
I do. Well, it was going to feel so weird if we didn't have any music.
I know.
By the way, I haven't read the story yet, but the Hollywood reporter says that we now have information on Nicole Kidman's weird clapping during the Oscars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was doing like the fingers out seal clapping.
Was it like
where you're like afraid
nails?
To let your fingers touch kind of clapping?
Was it some nail thing? Like she just got nails done or
exactly,
something?
Exactly. So Hollywood Reporter now has an expose on that. So
great.
Look out, world.
Great.
We're going to learn about that. But in the meantime, while I delve into that story, how about we play a request for Clark, a.k.a. Moo Hogan in the chat room. Says, hey, Brian, would you play a cover of Unchained Melody for my wife's birthday somewhere around the 10th of March? I know there's no show that day, but sometime close would be great. I used to sing an a cappella version of Unchained Melody to my lovely wife when we were dating, and I was trying to reel her in, and it worked. We've been married for 16 years. She's my best friend and the love of my life. Signed, Clark. By the way, I'm the guy that presented your Warhammer 40K army to you at Nerdtacular.
Oh, I love those. That so cool.
Rad. And I have that sitting right over there, I went and bought a display case from the Container Store, and I have it in there. All right, Unchained Melody. been covered by a bunch of people. Of course, the Righteous Brothers did the most famous version of it, but they weren't the first person to do it. It was actually by a guy named Todd Duncan, and he wrote it for a movie called Unchained. And this was the song that came from that movie.
Nice.
This is U2's version. It came out in 1989. They included it on the B-Sides album, compiling a lot of the stuff they included with singles. I guess B-Sides pretty much explains it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Here's U2 and their cover of Unchained Melody.
Here it is. We'll be back Monday. Whole new week of shows. Come on back and join us, won't you? Oh, this has a long lead up. Hey, everybody. See you Monday. Got a big deal on Monday. Monday's going to be great. Talk to you later. This is going to get louder and louder.
Slowly but surely. Build it up.
Here it comes. And
the suspense is killing me.
Now. Nope.
Oh, we're going to get a second. Second lead in.
Okay. Yeah, this has got to be the one. Oh, I hear a drum. Okay, I think we're good now. Thanks, everybody. See you next Monday.
Woo!
Oh my.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I should have gotten that monkey.